send me. We have one more lesson after today in this series, okay? And then we're going to move on to another series of lessons. But here am I, send me. We started this looking at the commission of Isaiah. When God called Isaiah, he told Isaiah that he had a message for the Israelite people. And that message really was two parts. One was, destruction is coming because of your disobedience. The other part was hope in a remnant that God had reserved or saved for himself. And in that commission, God said these words, who will I send and whom shall go for us? And Isaiah responded by saying, here am I, send me. And basically what we have been talking about in this series of lessons is the idea that all of us have people in our Jerusalem or our Judea who are facing destruction, people that are lost. They need to hear the message of salvation. The question is, who will go and tell them? Okay, who's going to go to them? Who's going to tell them? And this whole series has been about encouraging us and giving us ways to think about the people in our Jerusalem and identifying maybe what some of their needs are and ideas to help us to go to them and tell them what they need to hear so that they can hopefully respond to the invitation from the Lord. We're looking at various Bible figures and asking some questions like, first of all, what was this person's need? Okay, what was done about their need? Who do I know in my Jerusalem who is like that person? Okay? And then finally, what do I need to do to respond to that person's need? Am I willing to say concerning that person, here am I, send me? Okay? Today we're going to talk about Martha. Okay? We need to be looking at, first of all, who was Martha? We're going to look at that a little bit and make sure we know a few things about this particular woman in the Bible. And what did Martha really need? Okay? What she needed is something that probably most of us need from time to time. Okay? And how did Jesus fill her need? Okay? Martha, Martha. All right? This particular person, Martha, had a sister named Mary. Mary and Martha of Bethany. Now, Bethany was a small village about 2 miles outside of the city of Jerusalem. It was a small village, and that's where they resided along with their brother Lazarus. Okay? Now, they must have been very, very close friends with Jesus, okay? You get the impression in reading some of the stories in the Bible about them that Jesus made perhaps frequent or regular stops by their house, okay? He interacted with them. How do we know that they were close friends? Well, notice in John chapter 11, Lazarus becomes ill. And here's what the sisters say in sending a message to Jesus. Lord, the one you love is sick. Not go and tell Jesus that Lazarus is sick, you see, but Lord, the one you love is sick. And they had such a good relationship that Jesus automatically knew who they were talking about. See? They were very close friends. Jesus was with these three. Okay? We read about Mary in John chapter 12, where Jesus is there in Bethany, having dinner at the home of Simon, and Lazarus is there, we're told. This is after Lazarus has been raised from the dead. And Mary takes, as it says here, a pound of very costly perfume of pure nard, and she anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Okay, so we're looking at Martha and Mary and Lazarus. That's who this Martha is. So here's what's going on. Jesus and his disciples stop by the house. Okay? When you read the text there, it gives the impression that this is kind of an unannounced visit, that Jesus and his disciples just kind of show up. So let me ask you a question, especially you ladies, okay? If all of a sudden there was a knock on your door or the doorbell rings and it's Jesus, okay? What are you going to do? All right? Well, probably some of you might be wishing that you had gone online and read this, how to clean your house fast. Okay? Now, I know that would be true because when I call some of you and say, hey, I'd like to come by and visit you, you go, well, give me a little bit to clean up. All right? You're worried about the preacher coming to your house. I don't know what you would do if Jesus showed up. Okay? But all concerned about, you know, the house is a mess. What, I got to get it cleaned and so forth. So can you imagine, all right, what was going on in Martha's mind? Now keep in mind that, you know, Jesus had been there many times before. They were friends. They were probably more like family. Okay? But this occurrence seems to be one, again, as I mentioned a moment ago, where Jesus just kind of showed up, all right? And Martha is distracted by many things. 13 more mouths to feed all of a sudden, okay? It tells us here, John says, that Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Can you imagine, in that day and age, 13 people show up at your house all of a sudden, and you've got to provide not just a meal, that's typically what we've got to, but you know, there's all those customary things like, you know, feet washing and so forth, and all of the things that, those are part of the preparations that I think Martha was distracted by. And Martha, by the way, okay, did not have the advantage in putting together food for 13 more people. She didn't have a microwave oven, okay, where so she could just go out to the freezer out there and grab something and thaw it out in the microwave and cook it real fast. Nor did they have pizza delivery. You know, call out and say, I need a dozen pizzas here, half of them pepperoni, the other with just cheese. And certainly there was no such thing back then as Uber Eats, okay? So none of these quick and easy ways to throw something together for this crowd of folks that just showed up at her house. So there is Martha, taking care of all of the preparations that need to be made. I don't think those of you towards the back probably can't see. Those in the front can probably see a little bit better the expression on in this drawing here of Martha's face. It's perfect, okay? Because it kind of looks like she might be, as I have on here, murmuring under her breath. Perhaps maybe she was thinking things like, he could have at least sent me a word that he was coming. Okay, a little bit of advance notice would have been nice. Where am I going to get enough food to feed all of these people? And then, where is Mary? Okay. Martha is most likely frantic, trying to take care of all of the things that need to be taken care of to be a gracious host. Now understand that in that culture, at that time, being a gracious host was vitally important. It was not something that you take lightly. And that's one of the reasons why, if you recall in the lesson we did a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the anointing by the sinful woman, and Jesus went to the house of Simon the Pharisee, and Jesus pointed out all of the things that Simon didn't do in welcoming him into his house. And we talked about that then, that those were the customary things. You just did those things to welcome people into your home. You did not neglect that kind of stuff. And so Martha is trying to do all the things that need to be done. And where is Mary? Let me ask you to think about this. How many times have you found yourself with too much to do? Okay? Overwhelmed. We have a term for that that we use today oftentimes. It's this. I have what? Too much on my plate. Okay? Meaning I've got too much going on. I can't handle all this stuff. Right? And then someone comes along and dumps something else on your plate. How does that make you feel? Besides overwhelmed. Perhaps, maybe if it's at your work, that you're looking around at some of your coworkers and thinking, well, what are they doing? They're just sitting around at the water cooler all the time talking. And anybody help me with some of this stuff? Maybe it's at home. And you need some help, and maybe it's, you know, the children or the husband or the wife or whatever. And why can't they help with some of these things? And we feel overwhelmed. You can, as you think about those things, perhaps begin to think about how Martha must have been feeling. All these things that are going on. We live in a world that is basically a microwave culture, isn't it? We want everything right now, you say, and it's a pace that we can hardly keep up with, and sometimes we even use the expression, I wish I had another hand, right? And it's like, God, why don't you give us all three or four hands instead of just two? Because two's not enough to get done all of the things that I need to do. And where does that time go? It seems that no matter what we've got going on, there's never enough time because time is flashing by. Right? And everything has to be done when? Right now. Got to be done now. You say, got to be done right now. Let's talk about for a moment the good portion. The good portion. Here's a part that we really need to stop and think about. The difference between what is urgent in our lives and what is important. You see, because I think that probably most of us, I know I'm guilty of this, that we tend to take care of the urgent things more in our lives. Why? Because the squeaky wheel gets the grease, right? Those things that are screaming the loudest, that are calling for our attention, those are the things that we tend to try to take care of just so that we can stop the squeaking. And it seems that as soon as we take care of one, then we've got more squeaking going on from another. And we go from one wheel to the next, oiling the wheels to try to stop the squeaking. Never even considering the importance of what's in the cart. It's on those wheels that are squeaking so much. The urgent versus the important. When we're so focused on taking care of the urgent things in our lives, it is really easy to neglect the important things. And important is always better than urgent. In Luke chapter 10, verse 40, Martha comes to Jesus and she says to him, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work myself. Tell her to help me. Now, again, you know, I look at all the different stories that the Bible tells us about Martha and Mary and Lazarus, and I can't help but to think and wonder about how close their relationship must have been. Again, why do I say that? For Martha to come to Jesus and said, "Lord, don't you care?" I mean, think about it. On her part, that's a rebuke of Jesus. "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work? Tell her to help me." Why was that? Because while Martha was running around taking care of all the stuff that needed to be taken care of, distracted by the many things she had to do, where was Mary? Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. And make sure you understand this. When you sat at the feet of a teacher, that meant that you were that person's disciple. That was what disciples did. They sat at the feet of their teacher or their master. So Mary was making a statement by her posture, by her being there, that she wanted to learn from Jesus. When we feel overwhelmed with all the stuff that we've got to do, distracted by many things, we oftentimes look for someone else to blame and to put pressure on. And in this case, Martha blamed Jesus. Okay? She gave Jesus the blame token. I mean, in essence, it's, you know, it's your fault that she's not helping me. She would if you tell her to get up and help. So it's Jesus' fault that Martha is having to do everything herself. Martha, how many times have you kind of gotten into this? That comparison trap? That's so easy to fall into, isn't it? Comparing ourselves to someone else and seeing how much more we're doing than they're doing, and they're not doing this, and again, we're overwhelmed. Why do I always have to do everything? How many times have you ever said that in your life? I had a nickel for every time I said it growing up in my home. I could have retired years ago. And then we play this card. It's not fair that I have to do all this while they're doing nothing. You just kind of feel Martha, that that's where she was. And here's Jesus' response. "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered," and some translations say upset, "about many things. But only one thing is necessary." All of those distractions that Martha was concerned about, Jesus is saying, you're concerned about too many things. You're focusing on all the urgent things, and you're missing out on the one thing that is important. And he goes on to say, Mary has chosen what is better, and some translations say the good portion. Okay? The good portion. And it will not be taken from her. What Martha was doing and taking care of all of the preparations that needed to be made was a good thing, right? I mean, certainly we wouldn't expect her to just say, well, here you go, showing up again. Well, y'all just going to have to wait a while. Okay? No. What she was doing was good, and it needed to be done. But there was something better that Martha could have and should have been doing at that particular time. Instead of being distracted by all the preparations that needed to be made, Martha needed to be seeking Jesus, like Mary was. Spend time with them. They will, but they were already friends, right? Yeah, but can you ever get enough information and learning from Jesus? That's an important question because I think it's one that we need to ask a lot of folks. And maybe sometimes we need to ask ourselves. Do we find ourselves thinking that, you know what, I got enough information about the Bible. I don't need to go to Bible class. I've got these things to do this morning. Watch your toes now. Okay? Watch your toes. I'm not apologizing for stepping on, but I am just warning you. Okay? That we get so busy with all the urgent things in our lives that we don't even bother to come and listen and learn more about Jesus. I referred earlier, when we were trying to get started here, I told Brian, go in the kitchen and get all the Marthas out of the kitchen. Because when we have fellowship meals, we tend to do that, don't we? We have folks in the kitchen that are in there preparing stuff and getting it all ready, and these preparations that have to be made for our fellowship meal, and they're in there instead of in here for Bible class. The urgent versus the important. One is good, but the other is better. Martha is taking care of all the urgent things while Mary was focused on the important. Okay? And here's what Martha needed more than anything. She needed a kind rebuke to help her refocus. To refocus to the important things instead of being so caught up in the urgent. And that's what Jesus did for her. What about people in your Jerusalem and your Judea? Let me ask a few questions here. You know anybody like Martha? Maybe, perhaps, look in the mirror. Any good people like Martha? Who just don't have time for Jesus in your Jerusalem or Judea? Because they're so focused on all the urgent things and their plate is so full, they don't have time for Jesus. Anyone chasing the urgent and leaving the important unattended to? What about you? Do you need to refocus? Challenge for all of us, myself included. I had to do a lot of really hard self-searching on this particular one. Because I can sure find my way into taking care of all kinds of urgent stuff real easy. So I lay the challenge out for all of you too. Think about it. What are you focused on? All the preparations that need to be made in life, or sitting at the feet of Jesus. The question is asked of us, just like of Isaiah. Who will go? Whom shall I send? And will you say, here am I, send me? To the Marthas that are in your Jerusalem or your Judea. Chuck has a song that he's chosen for us to use as an invitation song this morning. In just a moment, we're going to stand and sing that song and use that as an opportunity for anybody to come and request prayers, maybe on your behalf or behalf of someone else or something going on in your life or theirs. Whatever it is that we can do to help you, to serve you, to help you to become more like Jesus in your life. Anyone here who has not yet given your life to Christ, but you're ready to make that commitment, ready to become a Christian. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then call upon Him as your Lord. Repent of the sin that is separating you from God and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now, this morning. You don't have to wait for anything. All you got to do is let us know. Dale will be in the back and Ray's back there in the back, and they'll be back there to receive anyone. If you'd like to have a private prayer or conversation with either one of them, then I'll be right up front to receive anyone like to come up. Let's stand together in the center.